Blog Talk Radio.
I hope and I pray that God will make me fearless. I heard Elijah Muhammad say they could bring 10,000 outside my door. Can God make you fearless? He said, those who believe and are the doers of good to others, there is no fear for them, nor shall they be. I will not be afraid. Why won't you be afraid, Elijah? Because God is with me, and as long as God is with me, there is no army that can defeat me.
Now I'm not afraid to do the Lord's work. He said vengeance is his, but I'ma do it first. I'm gonna handle my business in the name of the law. Oh. Now if he made you cry, oh, I gotta know. Not ready to die, we best prepare for it. My judgment's divine, I'll tell you who you can call. You can call, you better.
I'm not boasting in myself. Because if I start that, I'm a loser all the way around. No, no, no. I boast in the power of the God that I worship.
Who is that girl, my baby? Who is that girl? Gotta find that fool. Who is that girl? Pleasure in a man's pain, but my wrath will come down like the cold rain, and there won't be no shelter, no place you can go. Hey, 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 time to put your hand up, time for surrender. I'm a vigilante, my life's a defender. You're a wanted man.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. I would like to greet the listening audience and my distinguished panel in our greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam.
And I would like especially to introduce our host this evening, Student Minister James Muhammad from Tampa, Florida. Assalamu alaikum, sir. How are you?
Wa alaikum salam. I'm fine, and I trust and pray that you and all of you are fine as well, enjoying the blessings of Allah.
Yes, sir. So, Brother James. We have a very distinguished panel with us tonight. You care to introduce these gentlemen?
I certainly would be honored to do so. As always, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but He, and Muhammad is His messenger. First and foremost, I want to thank Allah for raising up from our midst His Messiah, the exalted Christ, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, through whom we have been given the wonderful example of the quality of a human being. He is deliverer, He is warner. He is reminder. He is comforter. He is, in fact, our beloved and blessed guide. The man of whom I speak is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. We thank Allah for him, without whom we would have very little, if anything, of relevance to say to you or to anyone. We want to thank our beloved sister, Gidget Muhammad, for extending to us this wonderful opportunity to host this show entitled Put On the New Man. And, of course, as those of you who have been listening for the past 3 weeks know that the subject matter that we'll be dealing with the help of Allah, is the minister's lecture series started 4 weeks ago entitled The Time and What Must Be Done. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has asked publicly that we, through social media or whatever avenues of communication we have access to, that we would, after listening to his message, create dialogue, promote and expand the dialogue on this most timely and essential subject, the time and what must be done. He has asked all of his students that we take this subject matter on a weekly basis, 2-3 times a week, and that all of us would be on the same page. And as I always open this show with a scriptural support for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's decision-making process, as we know, he is a divinely guided man. And we'll be reading again from the book of Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 10. And it reads as follows. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Having laid that base, I am honored and privileged to welcome to our show our distinguished paneled guests. First, we have our beloved brother, longtime companion. I love him so much and have great admiration and respect for him, our brother, Jihad Amos Muhammad. I've known Brother Jihad over 20 years now, and I have watched his growth and development as a young man. He currently is the founder, not only as a registered Muslim, he is definitely that, but he is also the founder of that fast-growing positive group, an organization entitled Build Your Community. The acronyms BYC. And Brother Jihad is doing magnificent work in that group, along with the believers and the members who are helping him, struggling with him, working with him to build our and yours community. Brother Jihad is a scholar. I know he doesn't like me to say that. He's a great teacher, very knowledgeable of the Arabic language and also of Islamic history and culture. But he's also an evangelist, and I've been trying to prevail upon him to see his evangelical talents and skills. And I love to hear our young brother not only express his scholarly dissertations and exegesis, but I love to hear him preach the word. So at this time, I'd like to present to you our beloved brother, Brother Jihad Amos Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
First, also, go right ahead. I'm sorry, Brother John. Didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
I speak to refuge with Allah from the rejected Satan. In the name of Allah, the beneficent, the most merciful. I just wanted to give that greeting back to our dear brother, James Muhammad, in whom I came under. It's submitted my letter under and who I recited before. I just wanted to give you your roses while you're alive, big brother.
I appreciate that. Thank you, dear brother. All praise is due to Allah. Yeah. Thank you, Brother Jihad. We also, and we are extremely blessed to be honored with the presence of our beloved brother and student minister hailing from the great city of Memphis, Brother Student Minister Demetric Muhammad. Brother Demetric is a member of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's research team. He is a student minister and assistant minister to Student Minister Anthony Muhammad of Muhammad Mosque No. 55 in Memphis, Tennessee. Professionally, he worked 10 years in industrial management in the fields of optics and plastics extrusion. He has also worked 10 years in the field of Islamic chaplaincy in a correctional setting. He is the author of 3 books, and I'm sure our listening audience and especially our panel are familiar with these popular, fast-growing in popularity writings that he has offered. The first of which is In the Light of Scripture, a Complete Dictionary of the Supreme Wisdom Lessons. When you get into trouble, nurse from your Holy Quran. He is also a featured author in the book Defending Farrakhan, Volume 1 and 2. He is also a great columnist for the Final Call newspaper. He has been a presenter for the past 5 years at the Nation of Islam's Savior's Day. And let me add, if I may, Brother Demetric, if you don't mind, our brother, student minister, counselor, mentor, and guide offers to us in the student ministry wonderful, wonderful instructions and advice. We just recently received what he called the recipe for the lecture, as we are all instructed when we have the opportunity to speak that we should speak the same thing, and that, of course, is the subject matter of the time and what must be done. Brother Demetric has offered to me and many, many, many other students and all who would avail themselves of the information, excellent research, Islamic, political, and otherwise. He is a top defender of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And much of the information and structure and format that I'm blessed to use anytime Allah blesses me to come before the people, I get that from our beloved brother and student minister, Brother Demetric Muhammad. I also want to close in this introduction that he just recently left the side of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and we want to extend as much time as necessary to him because we want to hear about that experience. So at this time, I'd like to present to you our beloved brother, Demetric Muhammad.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, sir.
Wa alaykum salam, sir.
Brother James and Sister Gidget and Brother Jihad, I'm very honored to have this opportunity to be with you all on your program tonight. Known Brother James for such a long time. He saw me when I was a very young teenager coming into the nation, and when we used to have those Southern Regional meetings in Atlanta. And I've always been very, very much an admirer of his and his work and his beautiful delivery of the word. So anytime he calls and invites me to do anything for him, I'm always very eager to be able to provide whatever service or support that I can. Again, I'm very thankful and honored to have opportunity to be here with you all and all of those who are listening tonight.
Thank you, beloved, and the honor and gratitude is ours. We also have an additional panel guest. I did not know about our brother being on the panel until the last minute, and unfortunately, I don't have a background that I can share with you on our brother. I had the opportunity to at least meet with him as we exchanged communication on the last show. But we're very honored to have our brother here, and I'm going to turn this introduction over to our sister Gidget Muhammad, who was better prepared to properly introduce our brother. So at this time, Sister Gidget, would you introduce our third panelist?
Yes, sir. It would be my honor. I will introduce Brother Kareem Muhammad, who is from St. Louis, Missouri, who is the owner of Kareem Construction and several other businesses. He's a long-term businessman. He's a First Resurrection Muslim. And so come down front and center, soldier, and tell us something about yourself that we don't know.
Well, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger, and I further bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is their divine reminder, our leader, teacher, and guide in this time. I want to greet everyone with the greeting words of peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, sir.
Yes, ma'am. And you pretty much told it all. I mean, the only thing I can say that a person wouldn't know about me is you didn't mention, you said I have several businesses. Yes, there's Kareem's Construction, but there's also, I mean, Holistic Health. And we deal with just that, whole health. People want to say the mind, body, and spirit, that's fine. You know, the only other thing is that I am dedicated to the rise of our people and whatever we must do in this time, and I really appreciate being invited on this panel to discuss that subject, the time and what must be done.
Yes, sir. And we are honored to have you, sir. Thank you very much for participating tonight. Okay, so Brother Minister James, you want to get started?
I certainly do, but before I do, I want to say that this is an all-inclusive forum, and we certainly invite our audience to participate. And those of you who called in, I believe you've received the instructions as to how to log yourself in, that we might entertain your questions, or the panel may entertain your questions and comments. Now, I'm going to ask a favor of you, Sister Gidget. I am on my way to Atlanta. I just need to get settled with my bags in the car for about 5 minutes. So could you handle things until I can get back on without interruption?
Absolutely, sir. I'll do that for you.
Thank you, sis. Thank you.
Okay, Before we get started, I want to remind everyone in the chat room that if you have a question, please type in your question. I will ask it on your behalf. Those of you who are calling by phone, please press 1 on your keypad, and we'll be happy to take your question. And we're going to go ahead, and we're going to talk to Student Minister Demetric Muhammad. And Brother Demetric, if you would, share with us the last 3 days that you've had the pleasure of being in the company of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. What was that like? What was going on?
Well, we were blessed to be with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan at the National Residence in Phoenix, Arizona, along with the other members of our research group to prepare research and to provide support for what Allah will reveal through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan during this year's Savior's Day event. Most of us at this point know that the minister intends to discuss and to reintroduce the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's economic blueprint. And so it was a tremendous honor to once again behold the minister and to feed from his deep reservoir of wisdom and knowledge, and to be able to collaborate with him in the process of research and the development of certain aspects that he wants to share with the believers and the world. And so we look forward to hearing what Allah will bless the minister to share on Savior's Day, part of the preparation process that the minister utilized, and one of the benefit of was to have a meeting, a mini conference with economists from around the country. And on Tuesday, we were blessed with the presence of world-class economists, professors, scholars, businessmen, who had been given an overview of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's economic blueprint to study and to read and to think about in preparation for our conference. And their task was to come and offer criticism, to offer any kind of commentary or analysis that would permit us to really implement the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's blueprint in the year 2013, even though the Honorable Elijah Muhammad first introduced his economic blueprint in the 60s. And it doesn't, you know, take a lot of thought to realize that the world and America and our people are a lot different in 2013 than it was nearly 40 years ago. And so the minister, you know, as the exemplar for all of us, you know, was so eager to hear from these economists. There were black economists, there were white economists, there were Muslim economists, there were Jewish economists, there were economists from Haiti, there were those that were from Iran, and it was a wonderful conference and a wonderful opportunity to learn from them, to hear their analysis of the messenger's economic blueprint, but to also see their interaction with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the research group and other members of the Nation of Islam. This was a group of professional brothers and sisters, if you will, that don't normally travel in the same circle as the Nation of Islam. And so by the end of the day, they were so enthralled with the minister and the believers that I really feel that regardless of whatever the future holds, those economists that came to offer their scholarship to the minister will be supporters and advisors going forward. And they really enjoyed themselves and their time with the minister, and they kept commenting about the high level of civilization and the great humility and respect that was shown to them by the minister and by those of us who were with him. And I believe it really made a lasting impression upon them. And I shared with the minister my thoughts after the conference that it reminded me of what Jesus says in the Bible. You know, Jesus at a certain point says that I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. And I'm always fascinated, as I was this week, at how, you know, as we grow up in the nation and we have our own experiences, and many of us are drawn to the nation because of our various experience with slavery, injustice, oppression, discrimination, and what have you. And so we have a strong nationalist view, and that causes us to see the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan perhaps, you know, in something of the confines of the movement for nationalism among our people. But I'm always so impressed and inspired when I see the minister outside of our community being so overwhelmingly accepted, and see him really draw all men unto him. And it showed me the proper way to conduct myself in the proper way to represent the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teachings, because the way of the minister, which is admittedly a trial for many people, but his way produces victory. His way produces victory with the least amount possible of collateral damage. And so he is our example, and I think that this program, which, in my opinion, is lifting up the minister, the time and what must be done. This is a theme and a dominant idea that the minister has taken up for a 52-week series of webcasts. And so as we lift him, I think many of us are going to be surprised at how not just the black community, but all humanity are drawn to him and begin to see him as the single source for truth that is uncompromised, unbought, and unbought. And as most of humanity spirals out of control into chaos, the minister will become a much more prized commodity. His guidance will become a much more prized commodity for all people, black, white, Hispanic, you name it. And so we were blessed to witness just another example of his magnetic appeal to the human family, and I thank Allah for such an experience.
Wow, yes, sir. We are all looking forward to Savior's Day. So as the minister was expounding on the economic blueprint, just in your personal opinion, Brother Dimitri, you know, in lecture 3 of The Time of What Must Be Done, the minister spoke about us really pooling our resources. And then when it came to the black families, or the black individuals even, our resources are such at a minimum. And I want to know, in your opinion, where do we actually begin, and how do we begin as a people to, number one, unite, and number two, develop that trust and that business mind to actually come together and pool our resources so that we as a people can do something for ourselves? What is the immediate approach that we should take, in your opinion?
Well, first of all, the minister intends to reintroduce what the messenger introduced, which was 5 cents a day. Now, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, in writing about that economic blueprint, he commented that he wanted us to see how easy and how painless it is to be able to pool our resources and to become self-sufficient. And as the minister commented, you know, we throw away 5 cents very easily, you know. He said that, you know, most of us, if you give your child a nickel, 5 cents, the child will feel, you know, that you have treated them unjustly because you have essentially given them something that has very little value. And so the minister intends to ask all of our people for the same disposable income, 5 cents, that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad asked for 40 years ago. And this is something that is easy for us to do. And part of this program will involve a psychological shift in our thinking. I remember several years ago when the minister did the educational conference keynote address, which subsequently became study guide number 21, the educational challenge. He remarked that American philosophy promotes something called rugged individualism. Now, rugged individualism is something of a luxury that the poor and the oppressed black people can hardly afford to employ. We see one another thusly as individuals. We have lost our sense of community. We lost our sense of collectivism. So when the Kerner Commission did its report after the riots in the 60s, they acknowledged the fact that news reports that displayed the injustice around the country of police brutality, of civil rights workers having water hoses turned on them and dogs sicked on them, the media distributed these images around the country, and the Kerner Commission acknowledged that this had the effect of causing black people, wherever they found themselves, to sympathize and see themselves in solidarity with those who were the victims of such injustice and abuse. And so we had a sense of collectivism. We had not at that time bought into this idea of rugged individualism that is codified in many of our street sayings and many of our music lyrics, where we say, you get yours like I got mine, you know, where we say things to the effect that, you know, basically you do your thing and I'm going to do my thing, you know. So these cultural expressions, these street sayings express a deep-rooted idea that we have today that we must fight against, this idea that we are not a village, we are not a community, we are not a people, we are not a nation, we're just a group of individuals, and leave me alone to do what it is that I want to do, and I'm going to leave you alone to do what it is that you want to do, regardless of how it affects the whole. So the minister said that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught him to speak for the whole, and he's done that. He's done that to such a degree that most black people, whether they're in the nation or out of the nation, they see Minister Farrakhan as belonging to them. I say that to say this, the trust that you mentioned in your question, the minister has been an example of trust. None of our people should have any reservation about donating their funds, even though they are limited, to a cause that is being articulated by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. He did something very profound after the Million Man March. After the Million Man March, the minister, who did not receive corporate funding or sponsoring, he published a detailed audit showing to the public, showing to the world, where every nickel, dime, and penny went to put on that march, which, mind you, he put up $500,000 of his own money that he received in charity from the believers to make the march a success. He is a man of integrity. He has never been the subject of fiscal malfeasance or irresponsibility. So we have at the helm of this call, which is a unique call for the pooling of the collective resources of black people, an honorable and trustworthy servant of God with a track record to prove it. Now, what we have to do is we have to use programming like this. We have to encourage our entertainers. We have to ring it from the pulpits and from the rostrum, this message, so that we make the pooling of our resources part of our culture. I say this as I close. The minister commented several years ago when he was speaking to the hip-hop artists, and he told them, he said, you know, there's no national preacher, or local preacher for that matter, who has a platinum-selling lecture or a platinum-selling sermon, meaning that they produced a message that sold and was distributed to a million people. He said, but the artists in the artistic community routinely distribute millions of their CDs or movies or what have you. So we have to make this shift in our thinking and in our habits part of our culture. We have to use the force of culture. Mao Zedong, when he took over China and he made China a strong nation, because all of the Chinese were addicted to opium at the time. And so Mao did two things that were very significant. He gave all of the addicts 2 years to get clean or else, but he also deputized the artistic community to put a message in their music, to put a message in their plays, to put a message in their songs of Chinese uplift, because he understood that what a lecture could not do, that what a speech cannot do, music, movies, plays, and a culture, making the progress of our people a way of life instead of a dogmatic exercise, is the way that you carry the message to a deeper level within the consciousness of the people, so the people don't feel that they are forced to participate, but the people willingly participate in that which has been made appealing, attractive, and sensible. And so we have to employ all of these kinds of tools to carry the message of pooling our resources, of self-sufficiency, into the hearts of our people. And I believe we're going to see more than ever black people respond, because every day the news demonstrates to us that things have not changed, even though we have a black man in the White House.
You better teach. Yes, sir. Okay.
All praises to Allah. Just to let you know, I'm back,
okay,
but I don't want to interrupt the flow, so go right ahead. Let's go to...
I was waiting on you, but I'm really waiting on you to get rid of that noise.
Oh, okay. You know what? And that's the car, so... You know what? I did not realize the kind of interference that would pose, to be honest with you. And I apologize to the panelists, and I apologize to the audience. Now, I can go on mute. And we have great qualification here on this panel that can not only give wonderful, wonderful exegesis and explanation and delve deeply into the word of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, but can also host. And I don't wish to take away from the quality of this broadcast in any shape, form, or fashion. So,
well, you sound magnificent right now, Brother James. You sound really good. So you can proceed, sir.
All right. Is that all right with everyone? Because the car does have noise. Is that all right with everyone?
That's fine.
All praise be to Allah. Well, very good. All right, I'd like to go, and thank you, Brother Demetrius, and we're going to, of course, call on you again later on in the show to continue to share with us your experience as well as your insight as to what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's direction and emphasis is today. I'd like to offer the opportunity now to our brother Jihad Muhammad that he would share with us on that same subject what we have to do in terms of uniting, pooling our resources, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is exhorting us to do. So, Brother Jihad, the floor is yours, dear brother.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam.
I seek refuge in Allah from the rejected Satan. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful, I bear witness that Allah came in the person of Master Farad Muhammad. I bear witness that Master Farad Muhammad is the Mahdi. And I bear witness that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad is the Exalted Christ. And I bear witness that the Most Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan represent them both and present them both and represent them both, and I bear witness that he is closer to both of them in wisdom than any of us. It is in their holy and divine name I greet each and every one of you again, especially the panelists, with the greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Welcome, sir.
I believe, you know, what's hindering us from coming together as a people, as a community, one of those hindrances is the lack of prayer. And one of those another hindrance, is a lack of trust. The question is, what is causing man to be disunited? What's causing us to not even want to deal with each other? you have so many people who claim Islam, but in their hearts, they're only jesting. You have so many people who claim the minister, but in their heart, they hate the minister. We cannot give to Allah totally if we don't know who Allah is, if we don't seek to learn who Allah is. And if we don't know who Allah is, then we can't possibly know or recognize the man who say he represents Allah. We can come together and pool our resources together. We can have businesses and business and so forth and so on, but if there's no love there, no trust there, sooner or later, division will erupt. Division will come. And we will be at odds once again. The most honorable Elijah Muhammad said that all of our prayers before the coming of God in person had came to a knot because we had proceeded in our prayers out of ignorance. He said we didn't know who we were, nor did we know our enemies. We didn't even know who our brothers and sisters were. So most of our prayers was to a God that looked like our open enemy. And we wondered why our prayers was never answered. So I believe if we pray to the right God, that prayer would bring about a right solution to the problem. Now, many on the line may not believe in God, care less about religion, you know, but they can't tell their heart to stop beating. Their lungs is not as selfish as they are. Their lungs inhale and exhale by a divine law, divine order. Who telling the lung to inhale and exhale, even when you are asleep? Who telling the kidneys to intake the water and release it? The body is not as selfish as many of us are. Even when we die, the lungs release the air back into the atmosphere. Everything that man wants, everything that man needs, was already here. Who put it here? Who created it? The most honorable minister, Louis Farrakhan, said, "You don't create nothing. You can make it, but you didn't create nothing. Not even the breath that was here before you came into a world that was already in existence. There was never a time where Allah didn't exist. So our first and foremost focus should be on Allah first. Then we could talk about coming together and pooling our resources. And what's hindering us is our lack of obedience to the Allah in each and every one of us. We don't see each other as equals. We don't see each other as brothers and sisters. We don't even trust each other. So the lack of trust, that's the hindrance. The lack of love. The lack of commitment to whatever we partake in, whether it's an organization, you know, we slack talk and backbite each other with these vicious attacks. And then we expect that brother or that sister to be so loving and forgiving after the vicious attacks. And you wonder why the brother don't come out, why the sister don't come out. Like, they don't even want to be around you. We don't atone sincerely. We haven't atoned with those whom we have rubbed the wrong way. And as I spoke the other night, you know, you have a legitimate child of Yaqub or Israel, and you have an illegitimate child of Israel. And these are the ones who are hindering us. And we can become that overnight ourselves. But the question is, are you the legitimate child of Israel, or are you the illegitimate child of Israel? And since we are in the house of Yaqub, or in the house of Israel, at this point we are the children of Israel, because we have yet to come out of his mindset. And as long as we are in his mindset, then we would never be able to come together and as we would like to. Allah have to destroy this world. And Allah do things, he show you things in this world, he make you hate it so much so that you will love the world that he planned or desired to usher in his name. I pray I didn't jump hurdles and go all around the world with it, but that's where my heart was. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Jihad, and thank you for your response, dear brother. You know, as I put the mic, if you will, in the hands of our brother Kareem, before I do, I just want to mention to Sister Gidget if she might have someone holding on that might want to join the conversation at this time.
No, sir. There are plenty of callers in the chat room and online, but no one has posed the question. So allow me to remind everyone that in the chat room, if you have a question, please type it in, and I will ask it on your behalf. And those of you who are calling in by phone, please press 1 on your keypad. And I guess they heard me because here they are. Okay. So can we take a question at this time, Brother James?
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
Okay. I'm going to open up the line for area code 563. Area code 563, your mic is live. Area code 563, your mic is live.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
salam. Wa alaikum salam, sir.
This is Brother Lena from Rock Island, Illinois.
Yes, sir.
I just want to expound on what the brother was saying about lack of unity. And
yes.
How could we get that in this proper perspective? First of all, I want to open up in the name of Allah who came in us in the person of Master W. Farad Muhammad. I say W because he came as a friend, Wali. And I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger, and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is his divine reminder in our midst today. What I have picked up on, why we have been so divided as a people, that tribally, I believe it started from the tribes and the different street tribes, the Crips, the Bloods, the Gangster Disciples, the El Rookins, the Blackstone Rangers, and it produced a lot of hate in the community as far as black-on-black crime in the Reagan era. Coming up in the city of Chicago, at the age of 14, I was a part of a street organization, was the Black Gangster Disciple Nation. And I grew out of that and became a man in Islam. So what I've seen is that wars happen in the community because of a different thought pattern and a different concept and a different way of living. And I think the war has also took on another pattern of war, because those that were in authority over the streets organizations are no longer on the streets. So you have disunity. And you have young men that are coming up on the streets that don't want to follow the law. So what's been going on with the different methods of drugs that we've been taking into our systems, the new marijuana, the new X pills, the new uppers, the new downers that we have today, everything has been blown out of proportion. And like the brother said, the only way I believe that we can get out of this condition in some parts of our community is through prayer and then through the guidance of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And that was my little brief comment.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. Thank you, dear brother. What was your name again?
My name is Brother Leon.
And you're from where, Brother Leon?
I'm originally from Chicago, Illinois, but I reside in Rock Island, Illinois.
Thank you. Thank you for your participation and your comment, dear brother. I want to ask at this time that if we could be mindful of the time and limit our questions, and certainly we invite comments as well, but we want to limit our question and comment to 2 minutes to give others the opportunity to ask a question. And I would exhort us to ask questions of this panel on the subject matter. Pick the brains of the fine minds that Allah has blessed us to assemble on this show and ask questions. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, ask questions and learn all about yourself. So I would encourage, please, ask questions. We love your comments. They're all relevant, but I would exhort and encourage all of us to ask questions of the panel dealing with the subject matter. Now, I want to give Brother Kareem, before we go too far, the opportunity to express his position, his insight on the subject matter that's being discussed at this time. Brother Kareem?
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam.
Yes, sir. And yes, ma'am. As always, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, who did come in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praise is indeed due forever. And in the name of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Exalted Christ, and their representative in our midst today, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I first want to thank everybody who has shared before me, because what's been coming out is, as far as I'm concerned, is exactly on point with our subject, which is the time and what must be done. And so much is there, I mean, I could say about it, but the one thing I really want to look at this point is the point that my brother Jihad just did hit on, is that fact of prayer and that fact of the lack of love, which the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has been expounding to us about the fact that in order to even do this work, in order to really be a Muslim or a student of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and a follower of his, you've got to love the people, you know, and it's understanding what that love is. Love is an action word. It's my actions. It's what I do. And in that vein, what I wanted to share is something that is out of our green book, The Restrictive Law of Islam is Our Success. And it's on page 21. Where the minister states, when we get outside the limits of the restrictive law of Islam, we move into death, and we come away from the upward movement toward the success that Master Farad Muhammad came to give us through the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He further states, the restrictive law of Islam is what ensures our success.
If the Savior said luxury, money, good homes, friendship in all walks of life, and then he came to raise us to eminence where people would literally bow their heads to a Muslim who is really practicing and studying and sharing their knowledge, then your fame increases by degree and you grow in rank. And if you stay within the limits of the law, you will have a favorable and satisfactory outcome. What is the final outcome? To become God. Success comes from obedience to Almighty God Allah. We must literally fix our minds, as the Quran teaches us, set your face for religion, being upright, the nature made by Allah in which he has created man. And in that vein and in that sense, yes, because I have experienced that myself among us, and it's a horrible feeling. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan also mentions in the book, The Restrictive Law, the fact of how in the past, even with all our faults in what's called the first resurrection, we had a brotherhood. We had a sisterhood. I mean, it was to the point that even I may not have liked you as an individual. However, the love was there. See, I can love you without liking you. It seems to me today that not just in the Nation of Islam, but since we present ourselves as the representatives of Allah, because that's literally what we're doing. I mean, when I say that I believe that Allah came in the person of a man, and that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, another man, is his example, and I look at how, as Brother Demetri mentioned earlier, how the minister dealing with these economists and these other people from around the world, he's drawing these people into himself. That's only the love of God himself that allows the minister to operate in that way. And I myself, and I can only speak for myself, have to use that as my example. I mean, if I love you, then when I wrong you, I'm going to atone to you. I'm not only going to come to you, and this is whether it's in the mosque or in the street, I'm not only going to come to you and I'm going to be nice. And no scripture that I have studied is the word nice mentioned. We're taught to be kind to one another. Usually when I deal with individuals and they start talking about being nice, this is an individual who will act kind, who will pretend to be kind to me because I have something that they desire or they want. Then once they achieve their goal, then they no longer have to be nice to me. They no longer have to act kind. And so my belief is that, as my brother said, yes, we need prayer. But what is prayer? Is prayer simply going to the mosque on Friday to Juma and making the two obligatory rakats, or making rakats throughout the day 5 times a day, or even if you stand up and pray in a dual position, is that making prayer? Or is prayer my every action in relationship to my brothers and sisters and then other human beings? Is prayer really a true application of the teachings given to us by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and exemplified by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan? And as my brother said, you know, time can get away from us. And on that note, I want to share one more thing. It comes from the Bible, then I'm going to be quiet and listen, because, like I said, I'm learning myself. And what I'm sharing with you comes out of the book of Matthew. It's chapter 25. And note what it says. It says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king shall say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in, naked and you clothed me, and I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And since Master Farad Muhammad himself, I don't see him out here in the street as I walk these streets. And since I'm not in the minister's face, how do I show Allah that I love him? I show Allah I love him by recognizing and respecting and showing the honor and the help to Allah in each and every individual as I meet them. And I leave you as I came in. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. I want to thank you, Brother Kareem, for your comments. Certainly, right on point. I'm going to ask us if both panelists as well as the audience, let us try to be considerate of the time and what must be done. And I'd like us to try to stay on topic, that we may pull some of the points and the principles of the minister's words as he has been giving them to us week after week for the last 4 weeks on this subject matter. Now, I want to say that the minister, as he exhorts black people of the necessity or to the necessary actions of uniting our resources and doing something for ourselves as opposed to being like Lazarus at the rich man's gate begging for the crumbs that fall off his table. The minister, however, said, as he quoted the title of his lecture series, The Time and What Must Be Done. So yes, black people must come together and black people must unite their resources. But the onus is not entirely on us. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said there is also, when you say something must be done, you're talking about it is absolutely essential, not only essential for black people, but essential for white people. So I'd like to ask you, Brother Demetrius, while we are becoming aware, and some of us are very aware of our responsibility as a black community, what is the responsibility of the Caucasian or white community as regards the freedom, justice, and equality of black people here in America? Brother Demetrius, you have the floor.
Well, Brother James, I think that you accurately describe all of, or at least some of the stakeholders in this great dilemma of what shall be the fate of America, what shall be the fate of the black man in America. And so we certainly have codified in the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad a prescription for economic strength, economic independence, and self-sufficiency. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad also articulated that it would be the responsibility of the government to provide land and to provide resources for our people. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad asked for 8 to 10 states that were minerally rich with access to the sea. So that is the appropriate government response to what you might call the cry for reparations. Is really a cry for justice and not reparations in the classical sense of that term, but reparations in the sense that the condition of black people in America is a fulfillment of biblical and Quranic scripture. Likewise, the solution to the problem of the black man and woman of America is found within the biblical and the Quranic scripture. And in both those narratives, the proverbial children of Israel were given a promised land. And so the minister is not going to wait on the government. He's not going to wait on the children of our former slave masters. He's going to begin to pool the resources of all who would support that kind of call coming from him, and we're going to make a start. Now, what's interesting is that in the Bible, in Exodus, there were plagues that were visited upon the Egyptians. And at a certain point, maybe in the 11th chapter of Exodus, at a certain point, you find the Egyptians arriving at a very peculiar conclusion. And they told the children of Israel that if you all don't leave, we all will die. And so the Bible says that at that point, the Egyptians began to help the children of Israel with money, with gold and with silver, with whatever they needed, not to stay in Egypt, but to make that exodus, because they had arrived at the conclusion that the plagues that they were experiencing, the weather, the infestation, the destruction of the economy, was all due to the troublesome presence of God's people among them not having received justice. So I think that all of the stakeholders must be alerted as to their responsibility for the total and complete restoration of our people.
Thank you, Brother Dimitri. Did you conclude your point, Brother Dimitri?
Yes, sir, I did, Brother James.
All praise be to Allah. Very good, very good. Sister Gidget, at this time, is there someone with a question that they'd like to pose to one of our guests?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We have several questions, and I'm going to make a comment because I'm going to make my word bond. I'm going to make a comment from Brother Eubika X, and he says that he would like, he said, I believe it should be brought to our beloved minister's attention, inshallah, that we kind of go back to revise the lesson, the proper way of handling people. I guess that study guide 18, I guess is what he's saying, that we need to kind of revisit that so we can learn how to properly handle one another. And that's Brother Eubika's, Eubika X's comment, I guess, to earlier comments that was made on the panel. And right now we're going to take a call from area code 904. Area code 904, your mic is live. Area code 904, your mic is live. Okay, well, maybe they changed their mind. We're going to take a call from area code 786. Area code 786, your mic is live.
Yes, alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, ma'am.
I would like to just greet the believers on this panel this evening with the greeting words of peace of assalamu alaikum. And I'm enjoying this discussion this evening, but I guess I would like to just ask, and let me just give the greetings to you, Brother James, well, the entire panel, but specifically just in recognition, Brother James, as well as yourself, Brother Jahad. Wa alaikum
salam, Sister Tisser.
Yes, praise be to Allah, as well as, you know, my my perfume mate, Kareem. All praises be to Allah. That's the other part of your you didn't mention on this as well. But what I wanted to just share with the panel and just ask is, in regards to the direction that the minister is taking us at this stage, I'm curious to know how come we have not yet looked into the aspect of acquiring the land that we have been promised by utilizing what we already have, which is found in our UCC 1, It's the acquisition of land, property, anything that we have by utilizing private law, which is not illegal, but is already there. There are people who are within our nation who have already been utilizing this, and we have the ability to protect ourselves and actually live accordingly to what we have been promised by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So I'm wondering where and when we are going to begin to take the responsibility that has been given to us by this knowledge and carrying it into practice as has been done successfully. I'm currently working a process myself, and I know many who are doing it, and the results are 100%. When are we going to start to all collectively decide to take back responsibility of what it is that has been given to us by our God-given right in this land? As-salamu alaykum.
Well, thank you for your question. Okay, I'm sorry. We're getting some interference. Brother James, is that you? Okay. Brother Jihad, do you want to answer that question?
You know, she was so, first of all, assalamu alaikum. She was so fired up. I would like to hear her.
Okay. Well, sister is still on the line.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. Yes, ma'am. You'd like to hear me, Brother John?
I mean, Brother James laid the law down for 2 minutes.
Okay. For 2 minutes? Well, then I'll try to make it in 30 seconds. We have the ability by just studying properly. We've been told to study to show ourselves approved unto God. And I would really advise us, our president, Obama, directed us on a Cliff Kelly show to study the UCC-1. This is the Universal Commercial Code. There are many who are fully aware of this. Unfortunately, the information is not necessarily properly researched. I do know, and I know of many people who are actually, who have the knowledge of how to properly
please leave your message for
process out.
And James Muhammad.
I think we have an interference in the line, unfortunately. Okay.
Okay, what you too. Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. Praise be to Allah. What we would like to do and what I would like to propose that we do is that we get a panel of these people who know exactly what's going on, and they practice, or they present this in a private forum for those who are truly interested and who have already come studying as much as they can with black law dictionaries and are ready to go and sit down and discuss this process so we can move our nation and acquire the land that we need to fulfill the minister's request of us. He asked us of the equivalence that would be the state of California. So if this is what we are supposed to get, then we need to go and acquire this collectively from those who truly are interested in taking that responsibility. Thank you. I apologize for taking any more time. Awesome.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. All right. Brother Minister James, are you back with us?
I don't know what happened, but I'm back. Can you all hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now, sir.
Okay, we did have
one more question, brother. I'm sorry, one more question. Area code 904. Area code 904, your mic is live.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam, sir.
I heard brother earlier, and I want to try to be brief so I can get a response from the panelists. A brother spoke earlier about distrust, and Brother Jihad spoke about distrust, and a brother before him spoke about tribalism. I heard the Honorable Louis Farrakhan say that gangs came into existence when the Muslims became divided, or when the nation became divided, and we became many sects when the nation allegedly fell. In relation to the time and what must be done, what impact does the division of Muslims today in America in regards to the Nation of Islam and those who go by Orthodox Muslim sects, what impact does that have today on the time of what must be done and the establishment of Islam and saving our people here in North America.
And are you directing that question to anyone in particular, Lisa?
The panelists, Brother Jihad, and whomever else is sitting on the panel who wishes to answer that question, please.
Okay, yes, sir. Okay, Brother Jihad.
Please forgive me for asking my brother to repeat the question. I heard so much in it, and here is such a beat. I want to hear the.
Yes, my apologies, brother. I heard you say earlier you were speaking about distrust as far as what's preventing us from coming together is the presence of distrust. And the brother before you spoke about tribalism as far as the gang environment and so forth.
Yeah.
And I heard the Ominous Louis Farrakhan say one time that gangs came into existence when the nation fell and the Muslims became divided. So my question is, what impact does the division of Muslims today in America have? Or what bearing does that have in relation to the time and what must be done? And what impact does that have as far as the division of Muslims have in relation to bringing our people together?
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. Refuge in Allah. I hear a lot of interference.
Yes, please, if you have your computers on, if you have background noise, please mute your phones because I have everyone muted out except for the panel. Okay, go ahead, Brother Jihad.
Okay. First, let me speak refuge in Allah from the rejected Satan. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful. You know, Allah says in the Holy Quran, He says, O you who believe, surely many of the doctors of law and the monks, they eat away the property of men falsely and hinder them from Allah's way. And those who hoard up gold and silver and spend it not in Allah's way announce to them a painful chastisement. Then he went on to say, on the day when it will be heated in the fire of hell, then their foreheads and their sides and their backs will be branded with it. This is what you hoarded up for yourselves, so taste what you used to hoard. On the day when their leaders are turned back into the fire, they say, oh, would that we had obeyed Allah and obeyed the messenger. And they say, our Lord, we only obeyed our leaders and our great men. So they led us astray from the path. The division among the Muslims, the division among the Christians, the division among the people, I mean, this division just in religion. But God is more alive today, and I'll get right to the point. God is more alive today than before. But religion is dead. That old idea of God is dead. And what we have now is people who preaching for dollars. Even the foolish man could see through the prayer for dollars, Church of God. Since when do we have to pay God for forgiveness of our sins? You have people who love the Lord, but they are being asked to leave the church and even the mosque because they're not giving up the dollars. we focus on a net, as the minister say, or we strain at a net and swallow the camel of hypocrisy. To be a hypocrite is to only pretend to be something you're not. And when you dig deep into the minds of those who are dissatisfied in the mosque, dissatisfied in the church, in most cases, these individuals have been rubbed the wrong way in such a way to a point, as I said before, that they don't want to have nothing to do with Islam, nothing to do with Christianity. And this is because Yaqub soldiers are in the mosque. His soldiers are in the church, still hindering the people from coming unto the God. And this ayat that we read deals with the so-called leaders who are misguiding the people. These leaders, according to the ayat that I read, are being turned back into the fire for being disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Instead of them leading the people to a path that is straight, they chose to lead them to a path in which Allah's anger was brought down, because this path was not in the favor of Allah. So Allah gives these so-called leaders a taste of his wrath, and he burns them with the same burning or with the more severe burning for misguiding, mishandling, and for mistreating his people. So we must be mindful. They must be mindful on how we handle Allah's people. We may attract their attention, the people of God, and we may appear to be great in their eyesight, but we must remember, and I'll close on this point, we must remember Allah have eyes too, and he is considered the all-eye-seeing God, and he's forever watching over his people. So don't think for one minute that Allah would allow the misguiders and the mishandlers of his people to get away with such an atrocious act. Now, the other ayat above that, in the context, deal with intoxication, the games of chance. It deals with a merchandise, or deals with a merchant and a customer, a bloodsucker and one whose blood is being sucked. And you have a lot of men and women who engage themselves in games of chance and in the use of drugs, whether it's spiritual drugs or physical drugs. And as we all know, have a tendency of losing their dignity and their morals. And we have spiritual drug dealers in the mosque, and we have spiritual drug addicts in the mosque. The spiritual drug dealers are the ones who got the best rap, so they use to their advantage to support them, to help pay their bills. And when the poor Muslim or the poor Christian come to their leader or their pastor or their minister for support, they can't find it. Your life's out, but his life's on. This is why the children don't want to have nothing to do with the mosque. They don't want to have nothing to do with the church. They'd rather be in the ballroom. They'd rather be in the game room. They'd rather be in the clubs. They'd rather be in the streets, because what they see in the streets, they see in the mosque. They see in the church. And this is why the Most Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is having a hard time murdering this devil outside of yourself, because the devil that is in you is pretty much alive. So he have an ally that is in each and every one of us. and this is in our codes at this point. And this is why the most honorable Elijah Muhammad said during his papers election, he says that we can make a devil right now. We can become devils overnight. You the potter. He's the clay. Who are you going to blame, the potter or the clay, for the way the clay is shaped? We make devils every day when we refuse to keep our duty to Allah. When we refuse to bow down and serve Allah, we produce a devil. And Allah say, due to your disobedience, he have made a devil for you in every city. Assalamu alaikum. I hope I answered some of them.
Alaikum salam. Thank you, Brother Jahan. As Ted is fleeting, can you all hear me, first of all? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you and all the wind.
Oh, okay.
Brother James,
may I
please be relieved from the call?
Well, if you
I have an emergency that just came up. Yes, I have an emergency that just came up.
All right, go right ahead. And please keep me apprised as to what happened, right?
All right.
Thank you, brother.
I'll keep you abreast. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Love y'all, family. Love y'all.
Love you, too.
Love you more.
Listen, dear family, as time is fleeting, you know, I want us to try to understand that in any group of people, black, white, or any other, where there is organization, you're going to find that the organizational structure is not perfect. However, what I would ask us to do is to not focus on the imperfections of that which is striving to be perfect, but rather, let us hone in on the wonderful solutions to the problems of division, the problems of poverty, the problems of unemployment, the problems of the condition of our people that we're being blessed with in this lecture series by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Yes, you'll find that many of us may not meet the standard that we preach. Many of us may not live the standard that we preach or the standards that we verbally express. However, in this critical hour, we are receiving guidance. And that guidance is what we want to talk about, hone in on, and ultimately apply not only in our personal lives, but others organizationally, community-wise, and nation-wise, and globally, to apply these wonderful solutions of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So, dear family, I would ask us to try to stay on topic, stay focusing on those words filled with solutions to the problems we all are decrying right now. And I want to turn it over because I hadn't heard from Brother Kareem in a while. Brother Kareem, is there something you'd like to say on this matter? And also, I'd like to ask us if we would please, let us keep both our questions and our responses very, very brief and to the point. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam.
Yes, and thank you. And in line with that, and very briefly, again, all I can refer to is, like you said, we're being given guidance by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan as to what we must do in this time. And in relation to that, I would have to repeat what I said earlier. It's in the lessons. We're promised luxury, money, good homes, friendship in all walks of life. The thing is that I think that a lot of us get tied up in the luxury and the money part. But when you really begin to understand what we are being given and how the minister is moving and the wisdom he's given us, you have to develop the friendships first. I mean, it says in the Bible, greater love hath no man than he will give his life for his friend. So that being the case, my interpersonal relationships with those around me, if I improve those, then we can pool those resources as we talk about. And understanding that, as I said before, the word resource means something that I can go to over and over again that will help me to rise, which causes me to rise, but it's never depleted. That's why it's called a resource. R-E, a prefix meaning to do again, and source from the Latin word serge, which means to rise. The wisdom that the minister's given us, just like in part 3, and I heard him mention it again in part 4, he was talking about the fact that if you asked the question about the Caucasian and what is their responsibility, yes. The messenger said, give us a good send-off. Give us the resources that we need to build a new nation. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam. Brother Kareem, was that you concluding your point? Or
yes, sir. That was me concluding my point. I remember your instructions from last week.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Listen, we're moving into the last half hour of the show. I want to tap you again, Brother Dimitri, that you were right in basking in the light for a few days. And I want you to share with us your insight, what you experienced, how you felt. How can you concretize what the minister had done in those 3 days and what you plan to do to expand it in your area of responsibility so that each of us can do what we must do in compliance to the minister's instructions at the start? We may start small, but everything in life does start small. So, Brother Dimitri, and I want to be very generous, give you a great deal of latitude, brother, in expressing yourself, because I really, really want to hear from you, and I'm sure our listening audience does as well. So, Brother Dimitri, you have the floor, dear brother.
Thank you again, Brother James. And I think that I do hear quite a bit of background noise at this time. I know my brother is traveling, as I was traveling as well from Phoenix with the minister, and, you know, such a wonderful experience, as you would imagine, to be able to spend a great deal of time in the beautiful presence of the minister, you know, talking as students, talking to a master teacher, feeding from his wisdom. And, you know, the minister dealt with so many different subjects, and I'm still processing it all. But I think that one of the dominant themes of our encounter with the minister was his great energy for the way forward. And that energy is demonstrated anytime. I think I hear a lot of interference.
Okay, we can hear you fine, Brother Dimitri. I don't hear anything.
Okay, it stopped now. It was kind of difficult to talk over it. But
okay.
Yes,
I'm sorry. Okay. Go ahead.
It's much better now. Much better now. Yes, you know, the minister is very concerned about us making progress and fulfilling the vision of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and to begin to purchase land. And I think a sister mentioned something about land, and I don't know if she's still listening, you know, but I would just say to her and, you know, and anyone else, you know, there are many different ways to approach acquisition of land, and I don't know as much about the UCC as I'm sure she does, but whenever you are in the presence of Minister Farrakhan, one thing becomes crystal clear, and that is that Minister Farrakhan is completely devoted to the program and plan of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And so this oftentimes is a trial for some people because people have a lot of different opinions on the program and plan of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Some people may feel that it is antiquated, or some people may feel that, well, we've been there, we have done that. But I can assure you, whenever you are in the minister's presence, he's always listening for his father, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, from those that are present. And if you want to impress upon him any idea or any strategy that you would have, he listens to what you have to say and see how what you are saying coincides, bears witness to, or is in opposition to what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has presented. So his reintroduction and his process of acquiring the land is twofold. The land that we will purchase and acquire through pooling our resources, and that which the government would give to us if they are so inclined to do it, but he's not going to wait on them to do it. And so I wanted to share that, because there's a lot of different ways, and there are a lot of believers with land. You know, ever since the minister has taken up the theme of the acquisition of land and going into the college universities and encouraging the young people to major in agriculture. And when he came out Savior's Day and talked about all of the industries that just come from animal husbandry, specifically all of the different products that could come from a cow, this is in keeping with the program and position of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And there's actually documentation now, is an article in the USA Today that demonstrates that there has been an increase in the major of agriculture on the colleges and universities in the aftermath of Minister Farrakhan's college tour, where he encouraged the young people to major in agriculture because the possession of the land is the root of all wealth and all self-sufficiency. But this is very serious about it, you know, organizing these economists. He will organize a group of bankers, and he will meet with specific advisory groups based on their discipline to advise and to offer critique and to offer support, not for a new plan, not for a new idea, but how do we take what Allah revealed to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, which is an outgrowth of Bible and an outgrowth of the Quran, how do we implement that in the year 2013? So I don't know if at some point, I can't say if it won't involve the UCC, but I don't know or see that kind of strategy harmonizing very well with what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad dictated for us. So much of what we shared, or much of what we dialogued about, Brother James, was the minister's vision for the future. And I might add that I was reading maybe a few weeks ago in preparation for our trip some of the old articles about the Muslims, because, you know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is known for a lot of economic development. And in an article entitled The Black Capitalist, you know, the author commented that it was 39 years after the beginning of the Nation of Islam and the ministry of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that the nation began to really flower as an economic powerhouse, hence the title of the article, The Black or The New Black Capitalist. And what's interesting about that 39 years is that we are essentially in the 35th year or thereabout of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's ministry, sitting in the seat of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Now, in 4 years, it will be 39 years. Now, just to show how the minister is following very closely the footsteps of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, here in this 35th year,
we hear the minister taking this strong economic theme. Now, if we would just imagine the continuation of that theme for the next 2, 3, 4 years, we will arrive at the 39 years where the writer talked about the flowering of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam's economic strength. Now, what's interesting about the 39 years or the ending of the next 4 years is that that coincides with the end of the second term of President Barack Obama. What does that mean? Well, right now, and most of us could probably bear witness, most of our people are in something of a lull, if you will, or something of a infatuation with just the fact that we have a black president. And so it causes many of our people to not see the need for black collective activity. As long as we have a black president in the White House, in other words, everything is all right. Even though statistically, in terms of the wealth gap, in terms of the HIV virus, in terms of the incarceration rates, black people are doing worse under President Obama than we did even under President Bush. But that's very difficult,
yes, sir,
to get our people to see while he's in office. So in 4 years, when he's out of office and the condition of our people becomes more clear, I believe that black America and all poor people in America will be rushing into the doors of the Nation of Islam, and we will see the kind of economic strength, and a greater economic strength, in fact, than what we saw in the first dispensation of the Nation of Islam under the direct leadership of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And so the minister is very serious. He's very excited about the program of asking our people to pool our resources and to the purchase of land, the creation of a bank. You know, we had Guarantee Bank during the first dispensation of the Nation of Islam. The minister wants to establish another bank, primarily because the more money you raise, the less security is in different banks where the limit is $100,000 to $250,000. If something happens and the bank folds and you have millions, then, of course, you will lose those deposits. So the minister wants to create a bank. The minister wants to begin to send those brothers and sisters who are interested in learning more about agriculture to places like Cuba, to places like Belize. He will be returning to Belize in the near future. And there are great tracts of land in Belize. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad owned much land in Belize. Belize, which used to be British Honduras, is one of the only English-speaking countries in the Caribbean and in Central and South America. And there you have many different groups that have land. There are Mennonites in Belize who have discussed the sale of much of their land, which they have cultivated and developed, to the Nation of Islam. We were blessed to also be joined by Brother Nuri Muhammad, who, not the Nuri Muhammad from Indianapolis, but Nuri Muhammad from the Nation of Belize. And Nuri Muhammad was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's minister in the country of Belize, and he was the liaison between the Nation of Islam and the government of Belize. And he is very excited about bringing the minister back to the country of Belize to speak to the people. The minister was actually scheduled to speak there during his tour of the Caribbean before he came down with a fever and was advised by his doctors to take a rest. but Brother Nuri expressed great love and solidarity with the minister and with the nation and said that the people in Belize are anxiously awaiting the arrival of the minister. So I think that 2013 through 2016, we will see coming from the nation more of the program and position of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. While the first 30-plus years, the minister has really worked hard to reestablish the spiritual teaching, the theological base, the respect for the teaching, the respect for the God that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad represents to us, an understanding of all of the things that cause a fall in the nation, whether it be the domestic life of Muhammad, whether it be the reality of God in point number 12, the fact that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is still physically alive. These are the foundations upon which economics and what we would call horizontal growth and development is based. And so the minister, I believe, has done a wonderful job establishing for us a root in the teachings that now can be built upon and can be the basis for actual economic development, because many people who were around years ago understood that much of the economic development clouded the view of many to the moral correctness, the righteousness that we should practice as our way of life. Many times money and luxury can be a blinding force to people who really are attracted to material wealth. You know, as the minister says, you know, that poverty is a trial, but wealth is also a trial. And, of course, most of us feel that we have mastered the trial of wealth or the trial of poverty and would like to be tried with wealth. But the minister has never wanted to put, as it were, the cart before the horse. You know, he's always wanted to have the proper relationship between our vertical development and advancement along the lines of the spiritual principles of our faith. He has always wanted to balance that and make that dominant over our programmatic aspect for the acquisition of land and industry and property and material wealth. So these are just some of the things that we talked about and discussed with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, being blessed to spend a great deal of time with him in the National Hall in Phoenix, and to just to feed from him is really a tremendous experience that I thank Allah for, and I pray that Allah will strengthen me to be able to be a better defender of the minister. As some of us are aware, looming in the background of the minister's emphasis in preparation for Savior's Day is a renewed calumny against the Nation of Islam and Minister Farrakhan, whereby our great entertainers and artists are being used by our enemy to propagandize the murder of Malcolm X by implicating Minister Farrakhan through a film entitled Betty and Coretta, that he had something to do with Malcolm's murder. So, of course, that came up in our discussions, and Saturday, the minister will be doing a press conference with Mary J. Blige to discuss how such a calumny was used by our sister, who is a friend of the minister and who the minister considered a daughter, you know. But it just goes to show that as much as our people have great wealth, many have great fame and popularity, in many ways they are less politically astute and they are less savvy than oftentimes the woman or the man in the streets specifically where our enemies are concerned. And so this is something that we discussed, and so we will be the research team preparing materials for the believers and materials for our people where they can see the facts of the factual predicate that demonstrably shows Minister Farrakhan has never had anything to do with the murder of Malcolm X, and in fact has been one of the greatest defenders of Malcolm's wife and his children, even when his daughter was being charged with an alleged assassination attempt on the minister's life. So there's so many facts that have to be brought out, Brother James and Sister Gidget, that we will be bringing forth as time moves forward. The Final Call website, or the nation's website, www.noi.org, will be creating a page to be a one-stop shop for all of the evidence that we have to prove that Minister Farrakhan had nothing to do with it. There's even a four-hour interview between Mike Wallace, Attila Shabazz, and the minister that was actually done at the National House in Phoenix that the minister wants to make public. It's never been made public. There were only extracts of it shown on 60 Minutes several years ago, but the minister wants to make the whole four-hour piece available for everyone to hear them discuss exactly what happened during that critical time period in the history of Black America that needs to be known while our enemies make mischief with history. So I don't want to take up much more time, Brother James, but I thank you for giving me that latitude to just share some more of our experience with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Yes, sir, Brother Dimitri. And we thank you, dear brother, and we have to have you back on. Brother Kareem, I want to extend a special expression of appreciation to you, Brother Kareem. You've been very, very patient with us and very, very gracious in allowing us to hear from Brother Dimitri. And that was only because we love to hear from those who were right in the midst of the minister to get that direct as possible guidance from him through them. So we're going to have you back on too, Kareem, inshallah. We want to hear from you. We know you have a great deal to say. I want to close this show out and make a few announcements. We've got about 8 more minutes. And Sister Gidget, is there anyone that may have a question? Very, very, very brief, keep it brief, question that they're burning to ask on the phone line.
No, but I will send out the reminder that if you have a question, please submit your questions now or press 1 on your keypad so that it can be addressed before the show is over. We have about 7 minutes left. So please make your brief question now so that the panel can address you. But no, sir, not at this time.
Thank you, Sister Gidget. And I want to extend also the opportunity for Brother Dimitri. Please, brother, let us know what you have to offer the community in the way of knowledge, books, lectures, upcoming events where you are specifically involved. How can we reach you? How can we support you in your effort to support the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and expand his great word?
Thank you, Brother James. We will be conducting two workshops in Savior's Day, point number 12, the reality of God and man, as well as the Defending Farrakhan workshop. The Defending Farrakhan workshop will have Sister Student Minister Ava Muhammad, Brother Student Minister and General Counsel for the Nation of Islam, Abdul Arif Muhammad, Student Minister Abdul Muhammad of Chicago, and myself, where we will go through the facts and evidence that support not just the Nation of Islam's position on Minister Farrakhan, but that support the fact that all of Black America owe a debt of gratitude to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan for what he has done for us. So those will be places where you can reach me at Savior's Day. Of course, we are launching a new website after Savior's Day, researchminister.com will be launched, and it'll be an online presence for Brother Demetric, his articles, his books, his DVDs. The latest DVD lecture that we did, which is available, is entitled The Crucifixion of Minister Louis Farrakhan. And in that lecture series that we were very happy to deliver at Muhammad's Mosque, I'm a 55, that lecture rather, we were happy to deliver. We kind of go down the timeline of history to show the great opposition that the minister has faced and how Allah has blessed him to overcome it, and how he is in his person a sign of what Allah wants to do for each and every one of us. And so we have those, we have our books, and we have a lot of research tools for the believers, some of which will be available at our vending booth at Savior's Day. So inshallah, we look forward to seeing all of the listeners and all of the brothers and sisters, the panelists at Savior's Day.
Thank you, Brother Student Minister Demetri. Thank you, thank you, thank you. May Allah continue to bless you. And Brother Kareem, thank you, dear brother. Let me hear that resounding voice, dear brother. Say at least assalamu alaikum or something.
Alhamdulillah. All praises due to Allah, brother. And you're very welcome. And as you said, I also wanted to hear that direct. You know, you've been sitting at the feet, so to speak, of the master, and you coming direct with that. Now, I need that myself. So thank you for allowing me to be a participant.
All praises due to Allah. And we certainly are going to have you back, Brother Kareem. And we want to do right by you to give you the opportunity to express what is on your mind and on your heart regarding this subject matter, the time, and what must be done.
Once again, sir.
We air every Friday at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time and 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And those of you who have a desire to be a guest panelist on the show, please, Sister Gidget, if you could give the web address that they can send their bio and a brief history of themselves to.
Oh, yes, sir. Well, the best way to get in touch with me, of course, is on Facebook, and I am known as Queen Aziza Mariam Muhammad, but an easy way is to email me at grmuhammad@yahoo.com. That's G as in girl, R as in red, muhammad@yahoo.com. Also, Nation Building has a hotline. The hotline number is area code 832-304-3115. That's 832-304-3115. Or you can go to nationbuildingmovement.com. Either way, let us know that you're interested in being on the panel. Please submit your entries no later than Thursday at 5 p.m. so that we will have time to contact you and obtain a bio to have you participate on the show.
Thank you, Sister Gidget. And I want to apologize to our listening audience for the interference. Those of you who stayed on through it, I want to thank you for your patience and tolerance with us. I promise you that that kind of unprofessionalism will not repeat itself. I'll make sure of that. So I want to thank those of you who endured and thank our guest panelists. Thank you, Sister Gidget, for the wonderful extension of this opportunity to be a host on this show. Again, the name of the show is entitled Put on the New Man, and of course, the subject matter is the time and what must be done. And the purpose, I'd like to repeat, of this show
is in pursuit of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's request and, of course, our instruction that we promote and expand dialogue the best that we can on this subject matter, the time, and what must be done. We want to also inspire in areas where there may not be a mosque or a study group and you're some distance away from the local mosque or study group, that you come together after listening to this show and form study circles to expand again the dialogue on the time and what must be done. Thank you all. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And above all, we thank Allah, His Messiah, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and their representative in our midst, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. May Allah bless us all with the light of understanding as we greet you in peace. Assalamu alaikum. The time and what must be done. See you next week, inshallah.
Yes, sir. Thank you and good night. And thank you, listening audience. Thank you, everybody in the chat room. Thank you for all the callers. I'm sorry I didn't get your question, Milton, but I love you and I know you're listening. And please join us back next week, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. Assalamu alaikum, one nation, one love. Good night.
Assalamu alaikum.